So basically, Mum and Dad were doing lots of performances back in the 80s and stuff. And Dad was on his big unicycle and doing kind of the show and stuff. And basically, he didn't notice he was on the side of a curb.
Oh.
So when he went to turn, he hit the curb. And I, as you know, being a unicyclist, if you hit the curb and you've got to go off sideways, you're pretty screwed most of the time, unless you can get your bum off and then turn off.
But
you're really, really stuck on a unicycle. So he ended up going sideways, hitting his head and going unconscious in the middle of the show. So everyone and all the audience thought it was part of the routine or something. My mum kind of had to close down the show halfway and then basically got an ambulance in. And then they got the ambulance in. They took her to hospital with my mum and stuff. And then basically when the doctor came in, my mum was lying next to my dad on the bed next to her. And the doctor was really annoyed and said, you know, you're not a patient to my mum. You know, you can't be sitting, lying on the bed. And she said, I'm really, really tired anyway. Anyway, so the doctor said, no, you can't sit there. So she got up. Then she fainted off heat exhaustion from performing in the sun all day. So then they ended up both in the hospital bed next to each other. Mum with heat exhaustion needing a drip, and then Dad with a concussion.
I love juggling, and the best place to buy all things juggling related is oddballs.co.uk. That's oddballs.co.uk. I've been going to their shop since the 1980s, and now you can go there online too. The staff at Oddballs really know what they're talking about. Will the juggling axe, a fire torch, and the juggling club work while I balance on a roller bowler? Yes, says the staff at Oddballs, because they've actually tried it. True story. They also sell bubble equipment, yo-yos, lassos, stilts, diablos, roller bowlers, etc., etc. The list goes on and on and on. So, visit oddballs.co.uk right now and get yourself some juggling equipment. I did it back in 1988 and built a whole career out of it. The links and contact details for Oddballs are all in this episode's description. All right, let's go and talk to a very special guest. He's both a juggler and a juggling seller, because his parents, Max and Susie Oddball, started the Oddballs Juggling Company back in the 1980s, and now he runs it. Let's hear some more from the wonderful Mr. Alex Oddball.
Someone asks you, what's your job, Alex? They meet you and they're like, what's your job? What do you tell them?
Mostly, I tell them I'm a juggler. My heart bleeds. I'm a pure juggler inside myself. I've juggled my whole life. I don't remember learning to juggle either. I've always juggled. So it's been ingrained into me.
Yeah.
Just the free ball cascade. I just feel it inside me. It's like yin yang. So yeah, I mean, like my hobby and my heart is juggling, and, you know, sharing juggling and teaching juggling and inspire people for, you know, juggling in the mass market as well. But that kind of goes into the other side is, I'm purest kind of juggling seller as well. I love to share my knowledge and my passion, but also the props, you know, and the knowledge we've built within the props. So yeah, a bit of both. I kind of lead with a juggler. It depends how deep the conversation goes, I guess.
And is that the same true for your parents, Max and Susie? Are they just passionate about juggling and sharing juggling, and as well as running the business of selling juggling equipment?
Incredibly. Like, mum's been like a big advocate for women jugglers since she started, really, like back in the day. So she's a really, really big, pure passionate person about sharing juggling, but let alone juggling clowning and performance and, you know, all the kind of aspects of that as well. She was very active in the company of selling juggling equipment back in the day as well, but basically went another way with it as such. My dad's been like, he probably overkilled on juggling when he was younger. He like juggled 12 to 16 hours a day obsessively and juggled a lot. Kind of burnt out a little bit in a sense of juggling every single day and didn't want to become, you know, like, I don't know, an Anthony Gatto as such or anything. You know, he just found his level where he wants to be and kind of enjoyed it. So he's very passionate about kind of showing juggling, but doesn't get to do it as much as he did. My mom's still very active in the community as such.
Yeah, I saw, I was searching on YouTube, and I did find a video of them both performing in what looked like a school or in front of some school kids, dressed in clown costumes.
Must that was have been back in the day.
Yeah, back
yeah,
in the day.
Yeah, that was their performance in Canada.
Oh.
So, yeah, we lived in Canada. So my dad's side's got six sisters and a brother. So he's got a very big family, and basically he wants to go see all his sisters. So we got a big RV. He actually sold the company back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And decided that we wanted a different life as a family. So it was back when I was, I think I was 2 or 3 years old, 92 roughly. So yeah, we traveled in a big RV and traveled through my brother and sister, Lucy and Simon, and Chris, actually my big brother as well. Loads of unicycles attached to the side of the RV, going from school to school, doing juggling shows basically. And my dad actually seeing his sisters. Canada's massive. So we did that for a year and a half, and basically the people that bought the business almost bankrupted the business. So we had a choice of either going to Mexico. When I say we, I mean mum and dad. Had a choice of going to Mexico or going back to Harwich in Essex to carry on with the business. So we went back to Harwich.
All right. Yeah. So if people are just tuning in, you have a family-run business, the Oddball Juggling Company, and that's been going... That's been going on since
1984, established in 1984 at least.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow. And
yeah, a lot of jugglers there along the way.
And the first question basically is to tell me about your family background, how your parents met, and how they developed this unusual career of and you're now into the second generation of people running a juggling company and promoting juggling ever since the 1980s.
So funny enough, for everyone else it'd be unusual. For me it's very normal to be in the juggling business, so it's actually quite unusual when I see people, not unusual, but it's different for me because I've always been brought up in the juggling world. So that's the first thing, as a second generation juggler, being brought up into it, it becomes very usual very quickly. So all my life memories and that, you know, always been this sort of trading juggling equipment, so that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So basically dad was brought up in Kent, actually, I think, mm-hmm. from and his dad was actually an architect, and it's funny enough, his dad didn't actually finish school, wasn't very good at school, but became an architect, and then my dad actually failed at school as well, very, very bad at education in the sense of, as he says, dates and times and facts. He found it very, very hard, but he found it socially very hard as well, and he managed to excel in mathematics, but every other subject he failed, including kind of social life as well. And later on in mm-hmm. his life, he's basically been kind of diagnosed with autism as well, and Asperger's, which has kind of affected kind of his learning kind of side of it
right.
as well. But he basically excelled in, like I said, mathematics, but he just wanted to travel and actually meet people and communicate. So he was looking for his kind of means to be able to do that, and he mm-hmm. found juggling in Scotland, I think, when he was 15, 16, and kind of got into juggling and started making his own juggling equipment back in the day, because you couldn't get it, and the internet yeah. obviously wasn't there, and the only knowledge you would have is by meeting a juggler.
Yeah.
So obviously it changes things quite dramatically. So he used to make juggling equipment out of socks and fill it with seeds, and then he'd get washing up liquid bottles and get sticks off the washing up liquid bottles and constantly break them. but yeah, I remember him telling me he was just juggling like 12 to 16 hours a day, and
wow.
my dad's got a bit of a belly now. And he's not, we're all vegetarian in our family, but he's got quite a big belly, and he's always said it because of lattes or something like that. But when he was younger, he was so skinny. He was like very, very skinny, and it was just because he was obsessively juggling all the time. But yeah, so he, after that, he basically started traveling, kind of the UK, finding other jugglers, and became a troupe called Max the Juggler, I think his name was. And yeah, started kind of meeting other performers, and then eventually got into the street performance mm. side of things and started running shows.
Yeah.
So at that point, I reckon he kind of had a bit of a name for himself and things like that as well. But he was living in London, North London at that point. And basically my mum was living below.
Yeah.
And she kept hearing these banging noises, constant banging and bashing. And eventually my mum went upstairs and complained and said, you know, what's going on? I'm a teacher and I can't get to sleep. All I hear is banging all night. So then my dad said, oh, I'm learning how to juggle and ride a unicycle. So my mum said, okay, that's strange, can you teach me? So basically my dad taught my mum to juggle, and basically my dad went to India at that point for 18 months. Uh-huh. And my mum used it partly, you know, teaching staff and really got inspired about juggling and kind of, yeah, she was actually dyspraxic as well. So that kind of brought her coordination back together again, I think. And she just, yeah, just really loved it. And over the 18 months, she actually had a first husband she split up with. And by the time my dad got back from India with mm-hmm. a tropical disease,
oh, no.
It was just in time for my mum to nurse him back to health
wow.
and learn to juggle together. And yeah, and just kind of fell in love through juggling, which is, it's amazing for me. Again, it's very normal in my family, like, juggling has been a big link between a lot of things, so.
That's such a sweet story.
And became jugglers.
That is such a sweet story. That's amazing.
Mm. It's almost unbelievable in lots of these different things, and it's just so beautiful how it happened.
It's wonderful. That is such a wonderful story. So they both mm-hmm. are now into juggling. They are together. They're a couple. So.
It's their life. It's, you know, through and through tossers, so through and through jugglers, yeah.
Yeah. And would the next thing be buying juggling props from America, like the Dubai, and selling them from a suitcase? Is that what they got up to next?
Yeah. So after Mum and Dad met and found juggling and started juggling together, you know, really finding their kind of set, they were starting to perform in Covent Garden. And those are really early days where, you know, there were a lot of kind of performers back then mm-hmm. that you couldn't get juggling equipment. So
yes.
No one could get juggling equipment. And Dad started buying his juggling equipment from Brian Dubay in America, his first set of clubs. And he had kind of quite, you know, quite different props to everyone else. And
yeah.
And everyone else's props were all beaten up as well. So Dad started buying equipment from America and bring it over to Covent Garden. And the demand was so high that he ended up having to sell quite a lot through the suitcase and he couldn't keep up with it. And people from all around the UK and Europe, and again, it's hard to believe, but would just come there to Covent Garden to buy some clubs or balls off of him, you know, and this is even before you knew what was going to be there. It's just like crazy. So eventually, after selling out of the suitcase, they managed to sell in their bedroom. And so in their bedroom actually was above a fishmonger's, which is quite funny. So there was a big smell of fish. But they used to have all the juggling equipment inside the cupboards and over the bed, and they would turn the bed around and there'd be a little stool there, and the bed was just above the door. So it brings back a memory where basically Mum was trapped above on the bed at the top, stuck there naked under the sheets, where there were 7 clowns from Italy buying juggling props and different stuff they used to sell there. And my Mum had to keep her heads under the sheets.
So, your Mum's naked on the bed, up on the bed, and there's clowns down.
Yeah.
So there's clowns down below her in the room buying juggling equipment. That's brilliant.
I remember, she remembers just telling me just how embarrassed she was, you know. And I guess it's like different times as well, but because my mum and dad are like vegetarian at this point as well, the smell of fish I guess is quite bad, so I guess it was a good motivator to inspire them to eventually move on to getting their first shop. So they got their first shop in 1984, and things started from there, and I was, you know, I had over 5 shops in London at different points, in Old Street and Pitford Street and Islington Street and Camden and one in Tottenham as well, I think, you know. So lots of different people with lots of different stories as well, which is really nice about Oddballs. It's really brought people together to share crazy moments and inspire people with skill.
Yeah, I mean, this is the legend spreads far and wide. I can remember someone telling me that there was the only way to get juggling equipment was from someone selling out of a suitcase in Covent Garden. That must have been your parents.
Yeah, innit? Yeah.
And then when I started juggling about 1988, my mum was searching around where to buy the juggling equipment, and she went off to Islington somewhere to Oddballs.
Islington Street,
to buy me my first set of juggling clubs and devil sticks and cigar boxes. So yeah, you really made your mark. Really made your mark.
Honestly, from the family, we're just so thankful that we can first live in a world that we can share what we absolutely love, because that's what, you know, my dad and my mum have always aspired to, doing something that they want to do. So I was never forced into the juggling business. My brothers and sisters aren't into it. You know, I'm a pure juggler, and we want to be who we want to be. So it's nice to, it's really inspiring and makes us really happy to share what we love, but also just how influential it is on people. You know, it changes people's life, like yourself.
Yeah, here's another story. Here's another story. I was just listening to a random podcast about buskers, and this busker mentioned, oh, by the way, I got myself a manipulation ball from the juggling shop in Camden. So, oh, that's you again.
Yeah, I know. But there isn't a lot of places where you can actually go and play. I mean, less so now, obviously. More go and look. It's incredible journey that Mum and Dad's led us on to come here. And it has been like some hard roads there. But the juggling business is like, it's a purest love thing as well. You can really enjoy what you do. When you go to juggling conventions, and we're lucky enough to go to juggling conventions around the world, and Mum and Dad founded the British Juggling Convention, which is, you know, it's nicely established now, and the EJC and things like that. It's just so great to be around thousands of people that love juggling. It's just great.
Yes, I've been to some British juggling conventions. I've been to a couple of European juggling conventions, and it is a wonderful, massive community that gets together, of which your family is a big part of it, and that's amazing.
Yeah, and we were lucky enough to go trade at these places as well. And I mean, Almere a few years ago in Holland, which is the EJC, I had Mum and Dad actually at the same store. My Mum and Dad broke up when I was 9 years old.
Right.
And they've always still, you know, had like a good bond in the sense of having their juggling history and knowledge together and sort of things like that as well. But they hadn't done any working at any juggling conventions for about 15 years.
Right.
So it was really nice. I get to bring them on the stalls. My mum does a lot of the EJCs and BJCs. So when you go to the festivals, you actually get to meet the family, which is
nice. Oh, that's wonderful. When were you born? When did you
1989.
1989. I read a story your mum said she was trying to break a world record, and
that
you kicked her in the stomach. As a baby, you were inside the stomach.
That's the story, yeah. So,
is that true?
So there's a story that basically mum was going for, there was a lot of things. Mum did a lot of, mum and dad both did a lot of TV things back in the day with Richard and Judy, and dad was on You Bet.
You can find that on TV, on YouTube or somewhere on the internet.
And that's with Bruce Forsyth as well. So mum was going for the Guinness World Record with longest free ball juggling.
Yes.
And she got, I can't remember. I think she got to 12 hours or 13 hours. She'll kick me anyway for getting it wrong either way. But she got up to that point, and she was eating strawberries, and they were feeding her, and she was very heavily pregnant with me, and basically it kicks, and she drops, and that's the story. But the actual truth is basically she thought there was a chair behind her, and there wasn't actually a chair, and she went to sit down and fell over.
Oh, no.
Or something like that. So it's only a little gimmick in the story. But they told me that my whole life, and made me feel bad about it, and then it was one of those things they were just winding me up about.
What about your shop in Manchester? Did something happen to that?
Yeah, so I think it was, again, the dates are really hard just to remember. I think it was around about 96.
Right.
You can probably check it out. But the we had a shop in Manchester in the Arndale Centre, and on the first day of actually not even opening shop, just getting all the stock into the shop, and we laid it out and everything, it basically got blown up by the IRA. So luckily, there wasn't anybody inside it, because the reality for my dad was the most important point. There was no customers, there was no staff, there was no one there. And it could have been easily all of us there when it happened. So it was pretty hard on the company, because I think it was prior to all the insurance things going through. So basically it was a really tight situation. But I know my dad, throughout the whole thing, all he really cared about was anyone inside the shop and anything like that. And it was quite a big moment in history that Opals was involved in. Yeah. A few Camden fires as well. There's been the Camden fires quite a few times. I don't know if you've heard it in Hong Kong, but last year or year before that, there was a few fires, and that all avoided the shop narrowly by one shop. So, yeah, I've had a few heavy situations, but the Manchester one was pretty big. And unfortunately, it meant that no shop ever got opened up in Manchester as well.
Oh. Okay, for people listening overseas...
Yeah, which is a shame.
For people listening overseas, the IRA... they are the Irish Republican Army, and they were a terrorist organisation, and there was a lot of troubles in the 1980s. So they blew up part of your shop was blown up by it. Wow.
I don't think it was the main target, but it was in consequence of it. There was no jugglers getting served in Manchester at the time.
So Tell me about you then. So you're born in, did you say 1989?
Yes.
And you're born into the juggling family, so it all seems perfectly normal, of course.
Yeah.
what are the key stages in and now you are running the Oddball juggling company. What are the stages in your career? What are the key points?
Yeah. I mean, my family are definitely a bunch of oddballs. I mean, oddball by name, oddball by nature. So weird is my normal, right? I mean, for myself, I mean, I fell in love with juggling at a really early age. I learned Diablo at 2.
Wow.
And that's when I learned how to actually get your spinning throw up and catch it.
Wow.
And basically, I remember Mum, there's a little story. Mum said, you know, they had the coordination people, they go and check how the baby is or how they're growing up and developing.
Yeah.
And then they wrote how the coordination is better than mine, because I was doing tricks at a really early age. So then I learned to juggle around about five and a half years old, and I was riding my unicycle by 6.
Gosh.
So for me, like, I had that juggling surge in me from a really early age. I guess I didn't know anything different, but it was just inside me. So I took that from an early age and just kind of ran with it. So I kind of was living in my own world. So I used to ride my unicycle to school until the age of 12.
Oh, wow.
That was, again, it was just like, I didn't see it as unnormal at the time, weirdly. And then I realised it was not unnormal, but you never ever see it back in the 90s as well.
How did you learn the unicycle at such a young age? 6 years old.
Well, I learned to ride a bike at 2.5 without stabilisers.
Wow.
So I guess my having juggling parents, they didn't give me limits. Yeah. They just gave me opportunities.
Yeah.
And like Mum and Dad, I don't remember them giving me a lot of training in juggling. It was more osmosis. You know, you look at it and then you kind of absorb the information and you do it. I think between the ages of 0 and 4, you get the most information in, right? So those sort of ages, so they were very active in the juggling scene. Yeah, so then basically from there, I led on to just juggling a lot. So I managed to have quite a few nice opportunities as a youngster juggling. So I travelled a bit, you know, I went around the world with my mum and dad doing juggling shows, and we were busking, doing the hat. I used to be the hat boy with my brother. So we used to get a hat and then get the money at the end of the show, and we were very familiar with the whole busking side of it.
Aren't your parents running the Oddball juggling company, but you're still able to go travelling around and do shows around the world?
We went to Canada. We went to Canada in 1992.
Right.
So I was 3 years old at that point. So this kind of starts where I get my memories.
Yeah.
So at that point, they were doing loads of performing. So kind of for them, they were performers.
Mm.
They opened up the shop, became very, very busy, and Mum had to kind of fund the stock kind of side of it until it kind of got up and running. And then they did quite well. They sold the business for quite a lot of money back in the 90s because they wanted to become performers again.
Right.
They had this, you know, they wanted that urge and they wanted to travel and have that side of it. So they went to Canada and started performing and all that sort of stuff. And then obviously whoever runs the company is the one who, you know, has the biggest understanding about how the company should be ran or what the directions are. So, you know, it's hard to run another person's company.
Yes, yes.
So anyway, they didn't do so well out of it. And so the opportunity came back again. So when I was really young, we had loads of opportunities, but they were also running juggling conventions as well.
Wow.
So, you know, they were very active in the juggling scene.
Yeah.
So all the conventions in London were run, you know, mostly through them or in coordination with them. And so there was loads of opportunities for it. But also we had street performers and artists and poets from all around the world always staying with us. We had an open house.
Yeah.
So a lot of these performers held me as a baby. I know Steve did, Steve Rawlings and Sean Gandini.
Wow, yes.
So there's a lot of like Haggis. I was brought up as a kid with Haggis and Charlie, and yeah. So yeah.
So how long till you started actually performing, rather than just being the hat boy collecting the money? How long till you started?
I was really young.
Yeah.
I think, you know, generally in a sense of performing like on my own. Would have been much older, but probably from the age of about when I could juggle, right? Probably 2.5 is when I started doing Diablo shows, probably. and then juggling at 6, because I know I wasn't doing like hard tricks back in the day, but I could do it, and I was really young.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were kind of shocked at that. So I held on to that for quite a long time, and then I remember about the age of 12, 13, realizing I had to step up my game. So then I learned five balls by the age of 14.
Gosh.
Which took a while.
Yeah.
Because juggling's really, it's hard, especially when you know, when you've juggled for a while, it's hard to change what you're doing, you know? So it's up one skill once you've learned something. It takes a lot of practice. So I've been juggling like 26, 27 years, roughly.
Yes.
On and off, you know? So, but yeah, so from a young age, I was performing with mum and dad. But as you said, you know, we were doing a lot of business stuff as well. So it wasn't constant, but mum was still doing gigs and dad was still doing gigs at this point to promote the business and I don't know, whatever. So, but from, I think the age of 12, 13, I started going to a kind of young performers group in Brighton, which we started doing kind of shows in different places and kind of working on, we're in the Pavilion. I don't know if you know it in Brighton, which is like quite a posh, theatre.
Oh.
And we were doing all our practices there, so we were doing with kind of cool people that are coming in and doing shows for stages, like theatre shows, but with about probably 10 young performers doing different juggling skills.
Okay.
But yeah, we got honoured enough to have the Queen come there, so we actually ended up doing a show for all the royalty that came through to Brighton and went to Pavilion and performed for the Queen when I was 12 on a 5-foot unicycle.
Wow.
So that was a funny one. So, yeah, we met her and I jumped off the unicycle and then the little bow kind of thing. Yeah.
What was the name of the group? What was the name of
Short Circuit?
No, you asked.
Short Circuit, and that was run by a guy called Tat, who was doing a lot of acrobat stuff, and Nikki, who was another kind of I think aerial kind of acro lady. But yeah. So that was a cool kind of young experience. And just after that, I actually did a thing with Prince Charles as well on a motorized skateboard, which my dad was selling at the time. So he was like, yeah, Alex can do it. And I rode skateboards from a young age as well. But yeah, so I did a little skit at that point as well. But so yeah, I mean, basically on and off did workshops my whole life. So we did loads of workshops everywhere with little performances at the end as well with mum, and ended up doing a lot of that with mum, basically. And I remember one time doing a really cool Jewish wedding, and at the end me and mum were doing the passing routine where you know, knock the cigarette and out the straw out of somebody's mouth.
The
three clubs, and so we did that, but we ended up doing it over about 15 bridesmaids.
Wow.
And yeah, it was crazy. So at the Jewish weddings there's a lot, so I said I'll get every bridesmaid up and the groom and the bride. And, yeah, so it ended up about 15 people and doing a big passing routine to knocking it out as well, so.
Wow.
Nice picture there. But that's, I did a lot with mum.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's always been in me. From when I was a young age, when I came into doing the business, so I basically juggled up until the age of about 14, 15. Mm-hmm. And then at 16, I became a proper teenager and didn't quit juggling, but I stopped juggling as much because I was kind of conscious of trying to be a cool teenager, I guess.
Yeah.
So I learned to play a guitar and kind of skateboarded more. And then kind of came back to juggling around about 17 and realised just loved it.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit younger. I was like 14, 15, then came back to juggling 16, 17 and just fell in love with it again and just realised it was something that, you know, I really wanted to do.
So 16, 17, you're still at school, I guess? So.
Yeah, I went to college and studied games design at college because I was really into gaming and kind of computer, not more production, I guess. So I studied that and then ended up dropping out to work for a production company as a runner for Channel 4.
Oh, okay.
So, which was cool because I was setting up all the dollies and making coffees and doing technical, I don't know, laying out and stuff, and did that for a bit and hoped I'd get a job out at the end of it and didn't.
Oh.
So then I worked for, I think, Co-op for a few months and then enjoyed that, actually. It was quite fun, just juggling all the groceries into bags.
The Co-op?
And then,
the supermarket?
Yeah, the Co-op. Yeah, this is when I was 17, 18. And then basically I got a job in the shop. So I worked in the shop when I was younger, doing little Saturday boy jobs and things like that. But after school, I asked my dad for a job, and he basically said I can kind of do all the cleaning and organising. So I cleaned up the shop, and then eventually I got an opportunity to run the shop we had next door. So we had three shops in Brighton, one little skateboard clothing shop, one other kind of clothing shop, and one juggling kind of skateboarding shop. And the reason we had the clothing shops is because we needed the storage above the shop to have build our wholesale, so we had to make two shops up just in case it used the storage. So I ran one of the shops next door, and it was a shoe shop. So I ended up, I didn't know how well I was going to do. I didn't know at this point if I was into business or not. But I ended up doubling the turnover in the first year,
which
is really good. So, yeah, which is wicked. So basically that kind of saw it, right? I'm like, wow, all right. You can run oddballs, Brighton. So I ran the shop for about 4 years, which was great. Which was really, really nice. Got involved more in the conventions, you know, cause for a period of time I got out of the conventions because I was a teenager as such.
Any tips for running a company? How come you managed to make the turnover double?
I was selling my selling shoes, so you've got to sell your soul every day.
sell your soul.
No, I mean, the truth is you have to have passion. So I had passion in what I was doing, and I at that point, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew I wanted to connect with people. So being in the middle of Brighton in Kensington Gardens, which is a very vibrant, cool place in the North Lanes on the, you know, the seaside,
yeah.
It was like an honour to talk to the customers and to be there. So I just saw it as an honourable thing. Like an honour just to be connecting with people and giving them what they wanted.
Yeah.
At that point, it wasn't really what I wanted to give them. I wanted to give them juggling stuff and all that sort of things. But people wanted skateboard shoes and
yes.
Whatever, you know. So we've sold skateboards since the 90s. I don't know. I'm running a business. I mean, you've got to have the right product. You've got to have margins. You've got to have the right location. You've got to have the right marketing. So there's a lot involved in it, and there's a lot of risk, and all business has risk. So if you can afford the risk, then in a sense, financially, and it won't ruin you, then and there's a good opportunity and there's good price points and everything else, then I feel that's the way to look at business.
Were you affected by
some
of the
financial... I'm lucky enough to have passion.
were you affected by any of the financial crashes and crises, like in 2007 and 8 and things like this?
Yeah, I mean, Dad's always had this quite an insightful way of looking at business. So for me, we've been led in different ways within the business over the last 10 years, and I've led the business in different ways as well. But we had to change the dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
So when we had that one of the crises there, we ended up closing down the two shops and opening up a warehouse to increase the volume we had and pushing things. And, you know, that was what we had to do. You know, when we had a kind of a situation, we had to overcome it. So there was a risk involved in, you know, lots of different ways, but we managed to build up more stock of the same items as such. So out of that is when we really changed the dynamic of the business, closed down more shops and had to be more online.
More online.
So we've always been online, but we invested more into our online business.
All right. And does that bring us almost up to the present day now? Is that the situation you're in right now?
Yeah, I mean, the shops are lovely. They're really, really nice to have them. I kind of feel lucky that we've got shops in such great locations. We've got a shop in Camden Lock Market in London, which has been there since, like, you know, late 80s, and Brighton has been there since, like, early 90s. So, and they're both really cool places. Just the work in those places with stuff you love. I mean, like, it's an amazing job. Like, when I work in the shops, I love it. I really, really love it. Where we are now, I mean, basically, we are manufacturers and wholesalers and distributors of lots of major brands around the world.
Yes.
And we're a one-stop shop to get yourself ready to either just, you know, become a beginner juggler, an intermediate juggler, an expert juggler, and just facilitate dreams in a sense of things that you can never imagine you could juggle safely or, you know, or technically or anything else. And we're proud to be, you know, hand-picked these products over the last 30-40 years from, you know, different situations and meetings around the world, but also just things that we love to sell. You know, I mean, like, bubbles is something we've got into recently, which seems kind of out there, but we've sold bubbles for 40 years, and it's amazing how much joy things give people, you know? So we sell loads of different things now, which is so inspiring. Even things like lassos, which is made by a company called Western Stage Props, which have been making ropes for 100 years or so.
I better get one next time I'm in London. I need a new lasso.
Yeah, no, it's cool. And do you know what happened is I had a lot of things like this where I realized people weren't... when I was a kid in the 90s, we always had lassos. But at some point in time, we stopped stocking them or the supplier went away. So I managed to bring back a lot of these things that I had when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Which is cool. like lassos, you know. So we've got really amazing lassos, though. The in Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford uses one of the Western stage prop whips.
Oh, yeah.
In that film. So it's made by the same company.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Is most just a quick technical question. Is most of your business online, or most of your business from those few shops you run?
Everything's mostly online
mostly
now.
Online, yeah.
The global reach of having the internet is just massive in the sense of being able to supply and help people around the world get juggling equipment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, online, and that's our main focus.
And let's shout out your online website then, so people listening can...
So that's, yes, www.oddballs, so that's oddballs.co.uk. And if you have any questions about any props, we're specialists in everything we do. We love it. So if you want to geek out or ask any technical questions, just give us a shout, because people behind the products, we're much deeper than what we can say within the listing. So if there's anything you want to ask or anything you want to talk about, I had a customer call me up over the lockdown period, and they asked me what it was like to juggle an axe, a fire torch, and a club on a roller bowler. And lucky enough, I had that experience.
Yeah,
so I actually got the axe that he was talking about, the fire club, didn't like it, and put a club, and I was sitting on the roller bowler on loudspeaker. I said to him, yeah, it's all right, you know, and I'd rocked it, and I talked him through the different areas, and he was like, what's going on? Putting the stack on it. So I did a stack set on the play roller bowler and did the trick as well. Sent him a little video, and he's like, yeah, cool. And the next day he bought it, so...
There you go.
Yeah, and then he called me up again for a chainsaw, but then I left that time because I was quite busy at the time. But but yeah, so sometimes you get really hands-on experience, but yeah, normally an email back is the way. But yeah, that's the main thing. But if you ever get a chance to go to London or Bryson, you should definitely go into the store, because we've got really passionate colleagues that really love what they do, and it's a really nice place to be able to go in somewhere with. You know, they've actually got the stuff on the wall or on the shelves that you've always wanted.
Yeah, you can go in, you can try it, give it a juggle, see which kind suits you best. I love it.
And of course, we can't end without asking, what is Alex's favourite go-to juggling act?
For me, just juggling over people, because there's a purest way of just the person being involved within the juggling, and they're not obviously doing anything, but they're pure... The centre is on them, and the fear, and there's everything kind of dramatic inside it. Because I actually personally love to juggle very technically. I really love free and formal technical juggling, like very quick and balancing and bowls and things like that. But when I juggle for people, I love the idea of it being simple. So for me, I just really love the passing routine. You can just bring it out anywhere. You could be in a parade. You can do it on the side of a parade or in a festival, just juggling over with two people doing six clubs in four count, so every four throws, and then in two count as well, and then doing the knockout, things are knocking a little straw out of someone's mouth very dramatically, big round of applause, and giving that people that little moment. For me, that's a really lovely moment that I can always bring out of my pocket if I'm with another juggler.
Yes, you do need someone else. You can't do it by yourself.
And if, like me, you are fascinated by the history of juggling, then...
If you have a little look on www.juggling.tv. We call it a YouTube for tossers. So it's just full of loads of juggling videos and history videos and loads of different sections. Unfortunately, it's no longer active in a sense you can post on it, but it's still archived over a serious amount of videos, and I can't quite remember. But my favourite button's the history video button. And then it's got Bordil videos on there from the 1900s. There's a few oddball videos on there as well, but juggling.tv. So, yeah, check that out as well. That's a really cool little resource.
Alrighty. Okay, here we go. Ending number two. Ending take two, part two. This is the ending. Let's go for it. It's going to be a funny story. And now, a tale from the periphery of show business.
I went to India, and I went there to go set up a hospital, and we were stopped over in a slum to go get some water, and they were like desperate just for like a water bottle.
Right.
They came up and they were like asking me for my water bottle, and I was like, what? And then like they took it, and I realised after it's just because they wanted a container they could drink water and take it around with them. So I was like, all right. So I stopped there, and I didn't even have juggling balls with me, so I just did some, like, there's some kids there, and I was doing a few little hat tricks with my baseball cap, and I did some juggling with some rocks. So I ended up doing this little, like, kind of improv juggling show with rocks, and then, like, literally within 5 minutes, there were, like, 100 Indian people there from the village. It was, like, incredible, like, watching this little show that I was doing. So wow. I did the kind of walk of death with three rocks, you know, doing it over somebody, and did a few little kind of cheesy ones, and so it was really, really nice, but...
You made a show out of nothing. You had no props with you.
Yeah, for sure.
You didn't even have a juggling cap. Right? You had a baseball cap. You picked up some rocks. You lay a kid down. You walked over him, juggling over him.
Oh, I had to do something. All I was doing is free ball juggling, and I had too many people watching. I had to do something. But anyway, so I ended up doing this, and it was, I remember now, I haven't said this in a while, but there was like one of the rocks at the end of it ended up being part of the temple, because there was a slum, and in India, I don't know if you've been, but there's like loads of slum temples, like derelict temples everywhere. So there was a little bit of a temple I ended up juggling with, and I didn't realize until the end of the show, but at the end of the show, a Baba, so like a holy man, kind of came up to me and, said, oh, but can you do this trick? So he ended up doing this trick, and it was a contortionist trick.
Yes.
So you put your hands in, you twist your hands around and put your hands over. And then I ended up doing this trick, and I ended up being able to do it. And he was so pissed off, this guy, on me, that he ended up walking away in disgust. But what I've done in honour of this guy, that he was really, really annoyed. Anyway, because he thought he had one trick that I could do. But anyway, so in honour of this guy, I've taken this trick, and I show it everywhere around the world. And I'd show around, and there's one in like 100 people that I meet that can do this trick. And I kind of felt, it was a really nice moment. So it was a gift for me, because I did this juggling show. And then it was like, I got this trick at the end of it, and I go around the world sharing this trick. And it's, if we ever get to meet each other, I'll show it to you and see if you can do it. But yeah, that's a nice memory in my head. You can also email us at sales@oddballs.co.uk. That's sales@oddballs.co.uk.
Awesome.
Cheers, dude. Nice to speak to you, and we'll talk soon.
Oh, it's brilliant. You take care. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You imagine it as our house full of juggling props our whole life. God, just loads of different juggling props.